Hey folks, welcome to the show. Hey Sharad, how's it going, man? We are on a roll. We are looking at back-to-back business services type of plays, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the big catalyst for a lot of business such as this was COVID, right? I mean, people moved more and more remote, people started deploying more and more resources on the cloud, and hence more and more security came into the picture, I guess, right?
Absolutely. First, we had, I think, probably last week, we did Core Integra, who kind of are playing with the domain of labor compliances. This time, we have with us Satrix India, who are looking at the domain of cybersecurity solutions. So, gives me great pleasure to welcome Balaji Subramaniam. Balaji heads global sales and strategy at Satrix. Balaji, welcome to the show.
Oh, Nikhil, thanks for having me here. Hi, Sharad. Great to meet you. And a good morning to all the audiences out there. Thank you for having me and Satrix in this show.
Absolutely, a pleasure. Balaji, would love to get a bit of color on your personal journey and how you kind of ended up in Satrix. Maybe we can start from there and then we can go a bit deeper into the business end.
Sure, Nikhil. I go back a fairly long way, actually 30 years to be exact. And in these 30 years, you know, a large part of my role has been in India, but I think part of my journey has also been outside of India for a few years. And it all started in the early 90s. You know, at that point of time is when the telecom and the computer networking boom happened. I was part of that. I did work for companies like Cisco and Gen-G. And then in various role capacities, including pre-sales and technical delivery, etc. And then, you know, moved on to large companies like Dimension Data and NTT. Headed their cybersecurity and the cloud business. And around 3 years back, I said, after having worked in multinationals for a large part of my career, let me do something different where we can actually drive the strategy and call shots from India. And that I bumped into Mr. Sachin, who is the current CEO and the founder of Satrix.
Yeah.
And when I had conversations with him, I liked, you know, his vision for a great cybersecurity organization in India. And so then I moved in about 3 years back, and it's been really an exhilarating journey here, where, you know, the challenges were pretty high, and which is what I'm liking.
Right.
And I'm also happy that, even though we are still a small company, I won't call ourselves a startup. We are, I would say, a teenager wanting to get into an adult, right? And the kind of support that we are receiving from our partners and from our customers has been very, very good.
Right.
So it's been a very good journey in the last 3 years. And I hope, you know, we add a lot of value to our customers and also our shareholders in the near future.
Right. No, I mean, you mentioned shareholder. You filed your DRHP in March 24. So a big milestone is upcoming. Heartiest congratulations on that. You know, it's always, like you said, teenager getting into an adult. I think a listing event is definitely an indicator that you guys are ready. But yeah, before we kind of delve into that, you know, we'd just love to understand, you know, the market and the segment here. Effectively, like, global cybersecurity market is kind of sized at around $170 odd billion. India itself is probably like a $4-5 billion market as we speak, you know, and in your DRHP itself, like, the target market segment for Satrix is defined as, in quotes, security information event management and log management, end quotes, or SIEM segment. Could you just help us explain what does that exactly mean, and how does that sit from a value chain standpoint in the broader scheme of things?
So if you look at, you know, you're absolutely right, Nikhil, the cybersecurity market has really grown leaps and bounds, and it's continued to grow over the next many years, I can foresee. And if you look at a very high level, right, at a very high level, you have the cybersecurity technology business, And when I say technology, it is basically the licenses, the subscription, the software,
right.
In some cases, the hardware, even though the hardware business is falling, the software businesses and the subscription is rising.
Right.
So that is something that we call technology business, where there are hundreds of vendors, mm-hmm. right? So even people who have historically not been in cybersecurity are getting into the bandwagon, mm-hmm. right? So that is one large part of the business. And the equally large part of the business is how do you implement and manage them, right? Mm. A customer can invest multi-million dollars in security tools and technologies.
Right.
If they are not implemented and if they are not managed properly, it's of no use,
right?
So the hacker will use, or the bad guys will use the weakest link in the chain to get into your infrastructure or your applications, right? So the idea behind the formation of Satrix is about 10 years back. We are almost 11 years now as a company. Sachin, you know, the founder of this company, basically saw an opportunity for cybersecurity services, because just like how India is a powerhouse in software,
right?
He thought, you know, we have the potential to become a powerhouse in the cybersecurity services as well, right? And typically, if you look at any research report in the last many years in IT, if you spend $100 on a technology and operations, almost $60 of that goes into services.
Yeah.
Right. So these services can be further divided into professional services, which is basically the implementation, the integration of various technologies and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And something called the managed services, which typically happens post the implementation, right? It normally happens 24/7, round the clock. People do, performance monitoring, log monitoring, threat monitoring, things of that nature, right? Mm. So this comes under the bandwagon of managed security services, right? And this is the big part of our priority for Satrix.
Right.
So among all the building blocks that we have four building blocks as a company. The biggest building block is the managed services business, which I just explained to you, where we at a very primitive level, we call it a security operations, mm-hmm. right? And to do security operations, we use technologies like the SIM and SOAR that you just mentioned, Nikhil.
Right?
So this forms a big building block of our business. Then the professional services business, which Satrix calls us as the tech support business, right? Mm-hmm. The tech support business is the second big part of our business. The third part of our business is something called the technology assessment business.
Right.
Where typically you walk into a customer, customer doesn't even know what is residing in his infrastructure, right? There could be sleeper cells waiting to burst any day,
right?
And he doesn't know how well his technology has been implemented,
right?
He doesn't know the vulnerable areas in his network, right? Or his application, right? So we conduct the short-term assessments, which helps the customer put a mirror in front of him and say, this is where you are in the maturity curve of your cybersecurity infrastructure and management.
Got it.
Okay. And then the last but not least is the actual technology itself, right? So we are not a technology company in the sense we don't make products.
They are more of your, they are like your vendors, right?
Yeah. So they are our partners actually. So we work with few partners who bring the technology and we provide the skills in implementing and managing them, right? And it works for us in two ways. And the reason I'm saying two ways is, one is, of course, customers who come to us directly, which is a small part of our business. But the larger part of our business is basically there are many companies which are in IT, which are in application space or network space or data center space, they still need security skills to help their customers. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they don't have maturity in the cybersecurity area. Mm-hmm. So we actually assist them as well. So in a way, we work as a proxy cybersecurity practice for companies who don't have cybersecurity skills.
But how large is that as a part of the overall pie?
I would say currently almost 50% of our business will come from non-direct customers, which are like through partners. So we have different types of partners. Some of them are data center service providers. Some of them are traditional system integrators. Some of them are cloud providers, right? And because we are in cybersecurity for 10 years, and 10 years is a long time, mind you, in this business, right? The market is still maturing. The cybersecurity market is still maturing, right? And, in a way, even though we are still not a tier one company, we are in a way a visionary from a services standpoint.
Got it.
Right? 11 years is a long time in the cybersecurity business. And unlike other businesses like traditional telecom or networking, it's not easy to just build skills over 1 or 2 years. It takes, a reasonable period of time to actually build those skills and, build those processes, etc. to actually give a good, mature operation. So even though we are still a teenager from a scale perspective, we are still an adult in terms of our maturity perspective and technology skills perspective. I just wanted to highlight that.
So that's helpful, Balaji. So, just out of curiosity, when we talk about security, right, like the big names that jump out are like guys like IBM and Cisco and Juniper. And would you look at them as competitors or comparables, or are they more sort of partners that you can leverage that, sort of work hand in hand with? How do you view those names?
So there are two parts to the answer, Sharad. The names that you just mentioned, most of them are our partners, where if a customer buys an IBM technology, we are always there to implement and provide operations, right?
Yeah.
So we don't consider most of the time these technology companies, product companies, what we call, right, or OEMs in our parlance. Yeah. They are not really our competitors, but they are actually our partners. But today in the cybersecurity industry, because there are hundreds of such technology vendors, there are not enough skills available in the market. And so there is a lot of collaboration happening even among competitors.
Okay.
So to just give you an insight, 20% of the business that I do today, I actually work for my competitor. Mm-hmm. I might face them as competition somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, I have been in this industry for 30 years. Never have I seen so much collaboration happening even among competitors, which is happening in the cybersecurity industry, simply because no single company can have all the skills that are needed. So to just give you an example, when I walked into a bank 4 years back, I don't want to name them, who are my customers today, they use 50 plus cybersecurity technologies in their environment.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, even I can't support all of them.
Yeah.
Right? So what is happening is this term called co-opetition, which you must have heard. Probably it is playing to the maximum in the cybersecurity industry than any other industry.
Yeah. But as cybersecurity solutions, right, from like in your example with the bank, you said they were like sort of the environment had about 50 odd operators. Is it sort of, it's not additive like that, right? I mean, technically, you should not have that many. You should probably have one full-service solution which caters to all your cybersecurity needs. Is that not what an enterprise would typically aspire to have sort of a one-centered, one touch point and one sort of face of what the cybersecurity solution looks like? Or are they willing to engage with multiple vendors for different pieces of their entire portfolio?
So, Sharad, again, two parts to the answer. One is when I said they have multiple technologies.
Yeah.
These multiple 50 technologies did not come from 50 vendors.
Okay.
It might have still come from at least 4 or 5 vendors.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So the pure consolidation wherein, you have one technology partner providing all technologies, that ideal world doesn't exist today.
Okay.
Even in a customer where a lot of consolidation has happened, you will still find 4 to 5 vendors in cybersecurity. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that is part one. Now, part two, yes, what is happening is customers buy the best of breed.
Mm-hmm.
So when they want the best of breed, they pick up ABC from one vendor, XYZ from another vendor, right? And that is when a company like Satrix really plays a role in helping our partners and customers.
Right.
Wherein we actually integrate these systems together, right?
Yeah.
And very interestingly, in 2017, we hired some software engineers for an internal project. But it so happened, those software engineers came very, very handy for even external projects, because a lot of the cybersecurity projects are moving into software.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of API integration, custom development of software and all that is happening. It's no longer just going and putting a box, configuring the box and coming out. It requires a very good, you know, integrated story.
Yeah.
So that one set of devices talk to the other set of devices and exchange information between them, which can be holistically monitored in a very good situation. Right?
Yeah.
So that is where, you know, a company like Satrix plays a very important role. So the more complex it gets, the more vendors that come into the customer, you know, the more value add that we can do as a company.
Because that will be your ideal point to do a tech assessment and show them the sleeper cells.
So sleeper cells is typically done ideally. Sleeper cells are typically done before customers invest a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, sometimes customers are, after investing a lot, they feel that it has not been implemented properly.
Mm-hmm.
So we conduct various exercises. It could be phishing exercises, threat hunting exercises, breach simulation exercises. So there are various exercises that we do in order to discover, you know, various vulnerable points and various sleeper cells, and that will help the customer have a true picture of what's really going on in their environment. So just investing in a multi-million dollar technology, you know, investment is not going to help them protect their IT landscape.
Right. You know, let's talk a bit about your client base. Effectively, I imagine that, you know, within the private sector, probably financial services would be certainly a fairly important segment. Probably things on the government end or government agencies might be a set. Could you just give us like the landscape of clients in terms of which are the largest ones in terms of share of revenue? You don't have to name names, maybe just from a sectoral standpoint, if you can give some color. And my follow-up to that is that, you know, especially the government and financial services companies, for them, cybersecurity has been an important theme for the last decade or two, right? And as you yourself mentioned, that they might be engaging, you know, multiple operators, like there might be like three or four EPC or solutions providers, such as yourselves, that they might be tapping at any given point in time. So from a business development standpoint, I just want to understand what usually is the pitch here. Effectively, is it always a question of, inadequacy of existing systems because of and heightened threat perception that a new player such as yourself might get some new business? Is that how you kind of get your foot in the door? Or you usually enter at a stage where, you know, these companies or your clients are just looking at cybersecurity for the first time. In terms of scale, you enter when they are at a level where you are probably the first solutions partner that they might look at.
Okay, so Nikhil, you had multiple questions, but I will address.
Sorry, I have a bad habit. I put like 3-4 layered comments.
Yeah, I will address all of them, but you did make points asking us. You are relatively new, so I just want to correct that before I move forward. Mm-hmm. So we are probably one of the oldest companies in the cybersecurity services industry.
Right.
So we started 11 years back. I just wanted to make sure the viewers understand this. And 11 years is a long time for a company which is specializing only in cybersecurity.
Got it.
That includes even the tier one companies, because many of them had traditional network and telecom businesses.
Right.
They all started cybersecurity only 7-8 years back.
Understood.
Okay, so I just wanted to, comment that before I move to the actual answers. Now, if you look at what we call as the verticals, right, the segments, you know, we term it as verticals. And it's not a surprise, not just for Satrix, I think for most cybersecurity services companies, financial vertical is the number one vertical. Yeah. Because historically, they were governed by a lot of compliances, right? So they never had a choice. So even at a point of time, 10 years back, when cybersecurity was considered a luxury, the financial services sector had to comply.
To invest, yeah.
So compliance drove a lot of these business, and that's true for Satrix also.
Right.
I would say almost 40% of my business still comes from financial services, and it's going to continue for the next few years also.
Got it.
Okay? Now, the next for us specifically is manufacturing.
Okay.
One, traditionally manufacturing also had a lot of IT being used. But now the manufacturing, the security has gone beyond IT.
Right.
So manufacturing uses a lot of operational technologies. And people have realized that, you know, a hacker can get into your boiler and bust their boiler, which will have such a significant impact. Even IT systems will not have that impact, right? So now manufacturing is also concerned about how to secure their operational technologies. Okay. So that is another big area for us. And if you look at outside of these two, again, any vertical, if you take, you take hospitality industry, hotels, you know, you take Medicare, healthcare, you take retail industry. I think cybersecurity, honestly, at least in the last 3-4 years, I am not selling it.
Right.
Customers are buying it.
Got it.
Because it's a boardroom discussion now, right? Your brand gets impacted if there is a leak.
Right.
Right. Your business, you know, you must have read in the papers in the last couple of years that there were the software companies whose operations were down for a week. Just imagine the impact, productivity impact it has on the loss of confidence among their customers, right? So if you ask me today, even though I'm a sales head, I am less worried about the sales itself, to be very honest. That will happen, right? Now, you ask me what are the big challenges that we have, right? The number one challenge is the availability of people with the right skills, even in a country like India. So there is huge demand for skilled manpower. Okay? And also because this demand is global.
Right. And just to be clear, when I said challenge, I also meant from a competitive dynamic standpoint.
I'm coming to that. So there are 2-3 challenges I want to highlight.
Right.
I'm just going by the order of priority.
Right.
Like I said, today, competition is not my first challenge.
Right.
My first challenge is having enough people to execute for the market. Right? Many companies today are refusing orders because they don't have enough manpower or they can scale up quick enough to address these customers.
Right.
So unlike other industries which have kind of plateaued, you know, if you look at the cloud and the cybersecurity industry, these two are booming. So the challenges that we have in this industry is less about sales and more about other things. Okay? At least for the next 4-5 years. Okay? So the challenge, the biggest challenge for us is scaling of people because there are hundreds of technologies. And typically, if you walk into your customer, I gave you an example, on an average, a customer will have 15 technologies.
What is a typical sales cycle like? I mean, in terms of, because enterprise sales is usually a little bit long dated, right?
So the sales cycle, if you sell technology, will be anywhere between 1 month to 3 months max. The sales cycle for a large services opportunity will be anywhere between 3 months to 12 months.
Right.
Because services are long-term contracts, right? Typically, they are 3 years and 5 years, right? And that is where customers hand over all the responsibilities to you. You actually become their partner to lower their risks.
And at what scale, from a customer standpoint, do you see that they start feeling that there is a requirement for, you know, a critical focus on cybersecurity? Because, you know, typically very early stage companies, you know, they're chasing growth with such a focus that often these things are kind of, you know, left in the sidelines. It's only at a certain scale where there is sufficient reputational risk and potential revenue loss due to a breach that it becomes important. In your experience, what has that sweet spot been?
So for Satrix, the sweet spot is not the Fortune 500 or the Economic Times 100. Okay, we are in the middle of the pyramid.
Right.
So our sweet spot is the large enterprises and the mid-market. I will not say small and medium businesses, but one level above that.
Got it.
So it's basically the middle of the pyramid is where we have a play.
So probably like 150, 200 CR top line plus, correct?
It can vary anywhere between 100 CR to about 5,000 CR kind of a game, right? And that is where it's very difficult for the mid-market customers to hold on to skills.
Yeah.
Where a lot of attrition is happening. A lot of technology obsolescence, they are not able to cope up with it. things of that nature. So they are better off handing over their operations to somebody who knows how it needs to be done.
Understood.
Right? So that is our sweet spot.
Yeah. And in that segment, right, because like obviously it's a cost item for them, what do you think sort of they look for when they're making that choice of which to partner with in terms of cybersecurity? I would suspect pricing is obviously one of the most sensitive variables, but outside of that, what are those features? Like let's take an example of a manufacturing company, right? A lot of them probably don't have as much information or ability to even assess a good vendor or a bad vendor. They probably are looking at pricing and maybe customer support and general reputation. What are those factors in your mind which you think resonates well with these companies in this bracket before they zone in on you as the choice, as the preferred partner?
Sharad, as usual, two parts to my answer.
Yes.
So one part is, you know, Satrix believes that cybersecurity can't be sold cheap.
Yeah.
We will be cost competitive, but if somebody is selling cybersecurity cheap, that's fine with us. We know that customer will move to us in 2-3 years' time, or maybe even earlier. Yeah. Okay, because you know the cost of a downtime or the cost of a breach is much, much more significant than you know paying a few $1,000s more for the right partner.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we believe in that. I'm not saying we are expensive or we are costly. We are cost competitive, but we are not cheap. Mm-hmm. So you know, I want to make that point very, very clear. Mm-hmm. Almost 50% of my customers in the last financial year have come from other service providers where customers have not been happy.
Got it.
So what that means is that, you know, you can sell cheap, but you can't sustain the cheapness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So having said that, what do customers in the mid-market really want, right? The customers in the mid-market want to know, you know, how long have you been in this industry? What kind of skills you have? What kind of services that you provide? What is the outcome? Right? Are you, you know, giving me peace of mind? Are you going to be the partner to lower my risks over a period of time?
Yeah.
Right? What are the things that you will do beyond your just contractual obligation? The contractual obligation is just a hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
How much of your experience working with other customers you are translating to my environment, right? And how quick can you respond if there is a problem in my environment, right? Now, since we are a teenager, we are able to probably be cost competitive, more agile. We have been in the business for the last 11 years. So, you know, we have a decent amount of experience, you know. So, you know, all this put together is helping us.
Right.
Understood.
Right. I hope I answered your question, Sharad.
Yeah, no, you did. And it's always interesting, right? I mean, from a business operator standpoint, we like such businesses a lot, which are sort of subscription driven, many predictive cash flows, decent margins. I mean, you're looking at, I don't know your margins, but 10 to 15% EBITDA margins for SaaS companies is probably fine at this scale. So we like these businesses. So, you know, we always try to get a sense of what customers and what stickiness you can generate over the long term. And that sort of helps. So do you also sort of have an R&D kind of a focus at your company? It's sort of what are the initiatives that you take from your own proprietary R&D and how big a factor is that?
Yeah, we do have R&D for two things. One is, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, we have developed our own set of tools. These tools are normally used to do operations in cybersecurity environment for customers. And this is our intellectual property that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that the larger customers, the Fortune 500 or the Economic Times 100 can afford, you know, the big technology companies product line, but for management, I'm talking about. But, you know, if you look at the mid-market, right, and you mentioned that, right, that you need a competitive price, right? May not be cheap, but a competitive price. So we have developed a set of tools wherein we go and tell our customers they can make a choice. If they want, let's say, a Gartner kind of a tool, we can provide services using Gartner kind of a tool. You know, if they feel that outcome is more important than the tool itself, which more and more customers are interested. They're only interested in the outcome, right?
Yeah.
And so for those set of customers, they don't really bother what tools we are using as long as we meet their service level agreements, right? So in which case we use our own intellectual property, which helps us control the prices much better. Right. So to answer your question, yes, we have our R&D. The second part of the R&D is basically, you know, we do a lot of work around emerging threats, right? We do a lot of work around how a particular service can be launched to your customer and how it can be helpful to them.
Right.
Right. So things of that nature. So we have a separate testing team. We have a team which looks, we have a data scientist team. We have a threat monitoring team. So we have, you know, various teams, which you can say, even though we don't call it as R&D explicitly, that's what they do.
Just one more thing on your sort of growth strategy, right? You know, we talk about global growth, and historically, when we've looked at some of tech-forward businesses coming out of India, US has been a lucrative market because it's higher margin, and there is a labor sort of cost arbitrage that you can play into. That's one, like, how do you view the US market? But more and more, we are seeing Indian tech companies and sort of look at Middle East as a lucrative market, right? And in fact, some startups and sort of tech-forward startups are even looking in Africa. Zoho is an example. I mean, it's growing, it's really spread its wings in the African continent. So how do you view sort of these global, and all of them have different profiles, right? They all require a different skill set to sort of sell and look at it. How do you sort of view global strategy over the next, call it, near to medium term, and why does one market make more sense than the other?
Yeah, so Sharat, you know, in this particular industry, and even specifically in the cybersecurity industry, I've spent maybe 17, 18 years now. And because of the booming opportunities, it's very easy to get carried away, right? So we are very clear that we need to not get carried away and, you know, put all our hands and legs into different things. Mm-hmm. So we are very clear what we want to do the next 3 years, right?
Okay.
The next 3 years, we want to have 50% business from India, 50% business outside of India. And outside of India, primarily focused on three regions. Mm-hmm. One is the United States, of course. The second is Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is Southeast. And even in Southeast, just maybe one or two countries, Singapore and Thailand maybe, right? Mm-hmm. And we believe that there's enough and more in these three regions for us to reach that 50% target that we set ourselves, okay? Mm-hmm. So that is one area of focus. The second area of focus is, I will say, we are very clear what not to do, right? Because there are so many areas, that is why this cooperation is happening. So we are very, very clear what we will stay away from in the cybersecurity business, right? So these are the two as a company we want to stick to for the next 3 years. Yes, there will always be, you know, multi-million dollar deals floating around in Europe, in Australia. You know, we are not going to proactively go after them through any existing customer contacts. If the opportunity comes, yes, we will still work on it. But as a sales strategy, we very, very really want to be India, Middle East, United States, and Singapore, Thailand. That's it.
And, you know, I mean, in India, obviously, you had an early move advantage. Whereas, you know, a territory like North America, specifically US, that is a fairly entrenched market. So there, what's the core differentiation that you bring to the table?
See, the differentiation in cybersecurity is not specific to geography. I think it is the same differentiation that I have told you a few minutes back, which is we are more focused on the middle of the pyramid. We give more attention to the smaller customers, right? Which probably the larger companies can provide. Like I said, even though we are a teenager, from an experience perspective, we are an adult because we have been doing this business for the last 11 years, right? The skills that we have, you know, many companies who are into other business may not have, right? So if you ask me, the differentiators or the reasons why a customer is choosing, whether it is India or whether United States, largely still remains the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Yeah, but everybody knows outside India, business is much more lucrative and, you know, et cetera, because of the cost arbitrage and stuff like that. But having said that, you know, in cybersecurity specifically, Indian customers do deploy, you know, very, very latest breed of technologies.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are, you know, even more mature than some of our international customers. So, you know, it's very tempting as a company to exit the Indian market.
Right.
But for us, clearly it is a no. We are going to continue to invest in the Indian market. Indian market continues to play a very important role for us. So I just wanted to, you know, let the viewers know about that as well.
Got it. Last point, Balaji, you know, in terms of from a threat perception standpoint, you know, like there was probably an year or two back when, you know, you were looking at a fair number of ransomware attacks. I remember it also led to a fair number of operational challenges for U.S. utility companies. In India, obviously, data theft is something which, or data breaches and data theft is something which comes in fairly frequently. Are there some, like, what kind of trends are you seeing, you know, in terms of the type of events which are picking up pace for which you have to be, you know, internally ready from a solutioning standpoint?
So, you know, it's very interesting, particularly in the last few months, you know, what we are seeing with our customers is a very interesting phenomenon where, you know, earlier, you know, they were more concerned about external threats, which is still there. I'm not saying the external threats have gone away.
Mm-hmm.
But there are significant internal threats of late,
right?
You know, of a disgruntled employee or, you know, employees, you know, being hand in glove with some cyber crime, you know, professionals, things of that nature is becoming a big problem, particularly in the financial customer segment, right? Cybersecurity people have realized that cybersecurity has, you know, many parts to the puzzle. One part is only the technology deployment. You know, the processes have to be very good. So when we do cybersecurity consulting, we give equal amount of focus to the process part. You know, what happens when an employee enters the organization? What happens when he leaves? What happens few days before he leaves, right? So, you know, there are various behavioral techniques that one can deploy, which is part of cybersecurity today.
Mm-hmm.
But process forms are very, very important. I would say process is almost as important as the technology that you deploy. We give a lot of focus to the process, right? And any assessment we do, the assessment focus not just on the technology, but the process as well, which I think over a period of time, it was only on paper, but I think customers have realized it. And now they are putting a lot of effort into building mature processes as well.
You probably have dedicated budgets now to tackle this, right? That also helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
No, thanks, Balaji. This was super helpful. You know, thanks for kind of giving us your unique perspective. You know, in the domains of information security and cybersecurity, it's a lot of new information for our listeners and for us as well. You know, good luck for you know, larger and more significant milestones at Satrix, and heartiest congratulations again for kind of going down the listing route, and all the best for that. We'll obviously be watching you guys from the sidelines and cheering for you. Thank you so much for your time. Okay, with that, this is Nikhil Arora, and with me is Sharad Tupran signing off.